Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Good morning. It was interesting. About 6 weeks ago, Pastor Barry asked if I would speak, and he gave me a challenge, which is to speak on three things. Number one, how we got our Bible. Number two, how we can trust it. And number three, why we should read it. So then I asked him, can I speak 3 weeks in a row? And he said, no, you got to do it in 30 minutes. Hence the challenge, because each one of those is a topic in and of itself. And I'm going to make some statements, and I want you to challenge them by examining the Bible in light of what I'm going to say. Psalm 40, verse 7 says this, the volume of the book is written of me, the psalmist is speaking of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we have up there is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The whole Bible speaks of one person, namely Jesus Christ. And you can find him in every book of the Old Testament, and obviously the whole New Testament is of him. One of the first statements I'll make is the Bible is the most important book of all time. It has sold an estimated 5 billion copies. It has been translated into over 350 languages, and there is another 2,100 languages that have at least one book of the Bible translated into that language, usually the Gospel of John. And yet, the Bible is the most scrutinized and attacked book in the world. Especially in today's world, everybody goes, you can't trust the Bible, it's just a bunch of quaint folk legends. And if you want to get a PhD, it's quite easy to get it. All you have to do is write something that attacks the Bible. It has been outlawed, confiscated, and burned at different times and places in history. And it has been smuggled into jails and across borders. John Huss, a Czechoslovakian theologian and reformer, was burned at the stake for teaching that the Bible was the final authority for the church over any earthly rulers. They literally piled all the wood up to his neck and asked him to recant. And he said, I cannot, because this is what the Bible teaches. William Tyndale was strangled and burned for translating the Bible into English. And yet, every week, millions of Christians gather together to discuss its words, even as the higher critics attack it using metaphysical naturalism. But I will say this, what we believe about the Bible is the most important central issue in our lives. Because you and I are faced with two worldviews. One, that we are here as the result of a cosmic accident. The other view is that we're here as the result of a deliberate act by a creator. And we need to decide which view we're going to put our trust in. I found it interesting this past week, one of the headlines was with this new Webb telescope that's up there, and they can see further back than ever before. All of a sudden, they found out something that they didn't expect. Huge galaxies at the beginning of time, which is literally blowing away all of their cosmological thinking, which tells us God created the universe. And they're struggling with that. The one thing that doesn't change is the Word of God. As I said, you and I need to decide in which view we're going to place our trust, because we have to answer four questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going, and to whom am I accountable? For myself, I find the answers to these questions in the Word of God. You'll hear quite often people say, well, the Bible's just a book. No, it's not. It is 66 books written by 40 authors in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, on three continents, over a period in excess of 1,500 years, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The biblical authors include national leaders, for example, Moses and Joshua, King David, prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others, disciples, Peter, James, John, and the gospel bearer, Paul. And what is interesting is archaeologists will go into the Bible, they'll read about a place, and they'll go dig there, and they'll find what the Bible says. Archaeology confirms the Bible people, places, and events that they were real. And what is interesting about the Bible is they would write this, it would have to pass a community standard in order to be recognized as having the authority to write as one speaking for God. You couldn't just all of a sudden say, I'm the author of Scripture. It had to pass the test of time. It had to match what else was written in Scripture. Isaiah 28 verses 10 and 13 tells us, line upon line, precept upon precept is God's truth written. That's why when you go through the Scripture, you will not find a single chapter on a certain doctrine. It's dispersed all the way through Scripture. That's why we can use the Bible as a commentary. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, 19 to 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible, beginning in Genesis 1:1, all the way through to Revelation 22:21, is inspired by God. And His fingerprint is on every page, every word, every comma, every period. In the New Testament, there would be letters written, for example, by Paul, and it would be given to churches. Those churches would receive them and then share that with the other churches. And you and I need to be like the Bereans that is spoken of by Luke in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. They received these letters with all readiness, but searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. When these letters came, written by Paul and Peter and James, we have to be like the Bereans were, where they would check the Scriptures. When you hear me speak today, don't just take it for granted. Go into the Bible and find out if what I'm sharing is true. What early church history tells us is that the believers understood themselves not to be determining what was inspired Scripture, but rather receiving what was clearly inspired by God. All Scripture, the word all is important. It means everything in the Bible is inspired by God. You and I don't get to pick and choose what's inspired. We have to accept the whole thing. So how did we get the Bible? Obviously, it was first written out by people. These are called autographs. And they would get copied. And you will hear people say, well, as they copy it, errors get introduced. So let me give you an example of how the Hebrew Scriptures were transmitted. If you were a scribe, you would write out a page of Scripture. Every letter has a numeric value. You would add up the value of all those letters, add up the values of all the letters for that page, and it would give you a certain number. And if it did not match what you had copied, you didn't go back and fix it, you burnt it and started over. How many want that job? That'd be a lot of work. So what is interesting In 1947, in Qumran, they found caves with scrolls in it, and they found many, many more since. They're called the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there was about 800 of them, and 270 of them were related to what's called the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. They found a scroll, or fragments of scrolls, for every book of the Bible except Esther, of the Old Testament. But more importantly, they found two complete scrolls of the book of Isaiah. Well, actually, 1 3/4. One of them was only 75%. What was very interesting is what they didn't find. A lot of people thought, well, the Bible has been translated so many times and copied so many times, there's lots of errors. Here's a scroll written somewhere between 150 BC and 70 AD, and it was virtually identical to the book of Isaiah that you and I have. Which shows, and it doesn't surprise me, because God is able to preserve his word. God is able to make sure that what we have is what he had said. Regarding the New Testament, you and I have the ability to access 5,800 complete or fragmented Greek manuscripts. We have 10,000 Latin manuscripts that we can access, and 9,300 manuscripts that were written in Syriac, Slavic, Gothic, Ethiopic, Coptic, Nubian, and Armenian. And when the Bible translators, when we're talking a good translation, they will access all of these to ensure that we get an accurate translation. How many have heard of a Greek philosopher called Plato? In universities, they study Plato's writings. There are only 7 copies of his manuscript in existence. The oldest of which was 1,000 years after he lived. What you and I have in the New Testament, for example, they have actually found fragments which they said was either the original or one generation removed. We have scripture that's written by eyewitness accounts. Luke, for example, wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts as defense documents for Paul, which is why he opens the book of Luke. And Luke was a physician. He was scientific. And he researched and validated the gospel story. And researched and validated what went on in the early church. Second Timothy 3:14-17 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Reproof deals with bad doctrine. Correction, bad behavior. Why? Because God wants us to have salvation through Jesus Christ. So why should we trust the Bible? You and I all have to trust into something. Even the most skeptics among us exercise trust every day. When I stand up, I trust that my legs are going to hold me up. When I sit in a chair, I trust that it's going to support me. I trust that when I breathe, I'm going to get oxygen. And when I go to bed at night, I trust that the earth is going to continue to rotate because it has every other day. It doesn't just change. We choose to place our trust in things because of their past reliability. And we have to choose to trust, otherwise we will live in a constant state of fear and uncertainty. When it comes to God and the Bible, we have to apply the same principles. We have to choose what we trust. Faith in God means that we have chosen to trust that He exists, that He is who the Bible says He is, and that our trust, or lack thereof, will affect or radically impact our lives in eternity. However, the alternative to that is not a lack of faith. To choose against faith in God also requires trust. We have to trust that God does not exist, that He cannot be known by us, and that this choice has no impact on our lives in eternity. Denying God's existence takes an even bigger leap of faith because the questions raised in the Bible still demand to be answered. Those who discount the Bible must supply answers for themselves to countless questions that with no ready answers, such as with the four questions I raised, dealing with the meaning of life and the complexity of the design seen in the universe. One commentator said this: many who choose to trust something other than the Bible must finally agree with atheist Bertrand Russell, who concluded that if life beyond the grave is a myth, then life before the grave has no meaning. If life beyond the grave is a myth, then life before the grave has no meaning. You and I have to choose what we're going to trust. And we have to consider the reliability of each option. The Bible makes some very startling claims about itself. Psalm 119, verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible will tell us how to live. And Luke 4, verse 4. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We could be here till midnight tonight, and I can give you lots of evidences of why the Bible is true and why we can trust it. But let me start with something simple. In the Old Testament, there are 333 prophecies regarding the first coming of Jesus Christ. The odds of one person being able to fulfill all 333 prophecies is one chance in 10, followed by 2,000 zeros. To give you an idea how big that number is, one chance in 10 to the 50 is considered mathematically impossible, let alone add 1,950 zeros after that. Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27, tells us the exact day that Jesus would enter Jerusalem. The exact day that He would enter what you and I call Palm Sunday. From the going forth of the decree to rebuild the walls to when the Messiah presented itself was 173,880 days to the day. It wasn't close, it was exact. Going in Scripture, when Israel would become a nation again, May 14th, 1948, predicted to the day. There are over 1,800 prophecies in the Scripture. Over a quarter of the book is prophecy. Half of them have been fulfilled. And guess what? The other half will also be fulfilled with His second coming. So is the Bible true? Is it reliable? I'll give you five reasons why it is. And again, each one of these reasons is a sermon or a study in and of itself. Number one, documentation, the number of manuscripts that we have, that we are able to draw on. Greater than any historical writings. Archaeological findings everywhere in the scripture that talks about a place, they find the details. Bob Cornuke, for example, reading in the book of Acts and reading about how they had to drop their stone anchors off the ship to get into the harbor, studied the scriptures carefully and actually found all of those stone anchors exactly where the Bible said. The eyewitness accounts given in the Gospels. There were statements made in the book of Acts and elsewhere. 500 eyewitnesses here. Other details that could have been challenged and were not. The last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, was written in around 95 AD by the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. Closed out the New Testament. And you will hear today people saying, oh, there's missing books and there's missing gospels. No, there's not. We show that to you mathematically. The usage of words, always divisible by seven. Proving to someone mathematically is not enough. You have to choose to trust. The life of Jesus, documented, not just in the Bible, but by other evidence. Tacitus, a Roman leader and historian, wrote, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. This is a Roman historian writing this. Well, one of the key evidences that you and I see are redeemed lives. C.S. Lewis was an atheist, became a Christian, and became one of the world's leading Christian apologists when he looked at Scripture honestly. John Newton, a former slave shipmaster, converted to Christianity and penned Amazing Grace. And what does the Bible say to us? Good news, Jesus came to fulfill God's promise to defeat sin's curse and be a Savior for all people. His death and resurrection create the only way to be forgiven for our sins. It's not enough to say you're a good person. You have to believe in Jesus Christ and give your life to Him. That you will spend eternity with Him. Jesus takes away our guilt, shame, and regret and sends His Holy Spirit to empower us so we can have a new life and share this hope with others. So why should you and I read the Bible? Number one, reading the Bible is how we learn who God is. Contains His message about life, talks about relationships and work, things that give your life meaning. Talks about how God interacted with His people. And it talks about how we can have a personal relationship with Him. It's how God reveals His character. And you have to read the whole thing. Not just your pet passages. It gives us instruction for daily life. Teaches you and I how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it explains the gospel. Many of us have heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants us to be in relationship with Him. It teaches you how to trust God. The more time you spend in God's Word, the more you know it's true. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." How do we know Jesus' voice? By spending time in His Word and hearing the words that He said. It's your best defense against bad teaching. Another reason to read it, it shows what God's will for our lives is. Romans 12, verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Why do we read God's Word? It's full of God's promises. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." As I said earlier, it's historically accurate. And it is full of truth. And it reveals how much God loves us. Let me conclude with this. Christians can confidently read, study, memorize, obey, and share the very Word of God received by believers throughout history. As the Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer once said, "God is there, but also He is not silent. That changes the whole world." Indeed, we have the Word of God, and that changes everything. And if you want to hear His voice, read His Word. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.